Welcome to SCOTUS Cast. Medical residents are not exempt from Social Security taxes edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 11th, 2011, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Mayo Foundation for Medical Education and Research versus the United States. The question in this case was whether the Treasury Department could categorically exclude medical residents from the definition of student in 26 U.S.C. Section 3121B10, which exempts from Social Security taxes service performed in the employ of a school, college, or university by a student who is enrolled and regularly attending classes at such school, college, or university. Chief Justice Roberts delivered the opinion of the court, joined by all other justices except Justice Kagan, who took no part in the consideration or decision of the case. The court held that the Treasury Department's rule treating medical residents as full-time employees, and therefore as not exempt from the payment of Social Security taxes, is a reasonable and binding interpretation of federal law. To discuss the case, we have Aaron M. Hawley, who is an associate at King & Spalding. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Hawley.
Hello, my name is Erin Hawley, and I'm presenting a post-decision podcast on Mayo Foundation for Medical Education and Research versus the United States. On January 11, 2011, the Supreme Court issued a unanimous decision in Mayo Foundation versus the U.S., case number 09837. The court held that medical residents do not fall within FICA's definition of students, and therefore that those residents and their employer hospitals are subject to FICA taxation. While this question is undoubtedly important in its own right, there are, for example, approximately 8,000 residency programs in the U.S., and about $700 million in taxes per year at stake. But the Supreme Court's opinion is noteworthy primarily because it decisively ends a decades-long dispute over how courts should review tax regulations. The Supreme Court concluded that the generally applicable Chevron standard applies in the tax context, thus rejecting the tax court's position that, because tax is somehow different, the less deferential national muffler test should instead apply. By way of background, IRC Section 3121B10 exempts certain categories of individuals and certain categories of services from FICA taxation, which funds Social Security. More specifically, Congress exempted from FICA services performed in the employ of a school or university if, quote, such service is performed by a student who is enrolled and regularly attending classes. Since 1951, the Treasury Department has applied this exception to student workers so long as their employment is, quote, an incident to and for the purpose of pursuing a course of study, end quote. Until 2005, the IRS determined whether an individual's work was incident to his study on a case-by-case basis. The Social Security Administration, however, had categorically concluded that resident doctors are not students. In 1998, the Eighth Circuit reversed the Social Security Administration's rule, holding that residents could not be categorically excluded from the student status. As a result, the IRS received more than 7,000 claims from residency programs seeking FICA tax refunds, and facing this flood of litigation, Treasury then adopted, after notice and comment rulemaking, an amended rule. This rule provided that a full-time employee, defined as one scheduled to work more than 40 hours per week, could not be considered a student because such work is, as a categorical matter, not incident to a course of study. After the department issued the full-time employee regulation, the Mayo Foundation filed suit, seeking a refund of the money it had withheld under FICA and asserting that the Treasury's new regulation was invalid. The district court granted summary judgment in favor of the Mayo Foundation, finding that the national muffler factors indicated that the regulation was invalid. The Eighth Circuit reversed, finding the department's amended regulation was a permissible interpretation of the statute. Briefing at the cert stage focused on a split of authority over the interpretation of the amended regulation and did not specifically address the question whether Chevron deference principles had superseded the national muffler standard. The Supreme Court granted cert, and the taxpayer's opening brief, however, argued that National Muffler should apply, and the government responded by directly challenging the continuing validity of that case and its standard. Writing for an 8-justice majority, with Justice Elena Kagan taking no part in the case or its consideration, Chief Justice Roberts concluded that the Treasury regulation was valid. The court first found that the student exemption provision of the IRC was ambiguous. Chief Justice Roberts then took the Chevron versus National Muffler deference question head-on. His opinion recognized the differences that inhere in the two interpretive approaches. Under National Muffler, a court views an agency's interpretation of an ambiguous statute with heightened skepticism if the agency's regulations have, 1, been inconsistent over time, 2, were promulgated after the relevant statute was enacted, or 3, were enacted in response to litigation. Under Chevron, however, each of those factors is irrelevant. The sole question is, quote, whether the agency's answer is based on a permissible construction of the statute, end quote. Mincing no words, the Supreme Court found no justification for applying an approach to administrative law that was good for tax law only. Instead, the court noted the importance of uniform review of administrative action and concluded that the principles of Chevron therefore, quote, apply full force in the tax context, end quote. The court, moreover, determined to explain that tax law is no different, took on an argument raised by an amicus brief that suggested that a rule promulgated pursuant to Treasury's general rulemaking authority, rather than a specific grant of regulatory authority, deserved less deference. The court made short shrift of the argument, noting that, while some of its earlier cases could be read to support such a distinction, the administrative landscape had changed significantly in the meantime. The court had since held that Chevron deference is appropriate under general grants of rulemaking authority, and again, tax law should be no different. On the merits of the question presented, the court quickly disposed of the Chevron Step 2 question. It concluded that the Treasury's full-time employee rule easily satisfies that step because it is a reasonable interpretation of the, quote, enacted text. Thus, the Treasury rule is valid, residents and their employers are subject to FICA taxation, and the decision of the Eighth Circuit was affirmed. By way of application, the Mayo Foundation case not only resolves big questions of interpretation in the tax context, it also raises them. First, there are two interpretive issues and one question that looms large under that recent decision. One, the unanimous court confined its Chevron Step 1 analysis to the text of the IRC statute. It is unlikely that this signals a shift in the more purposivist justices on the court, but it is interesting to note that a unanimous court chose not to consult legislative history at Chevron Step 1. Two, the court indicated a preference, although ironically one that would perhaps apply more often in tax cases than in other sorts of cases, for bright-line rules. The court explained that regulation, like legislation, often requires drawing lines. This approach would improve administrability and avoid the litigation costs of the case-by-case approach advocated by Mayo. Most importantly, for cases going forward, the court unanimously concluded that there should not be an administrative review scheme for tax law only. The court twice signaled a strong preference for consistent review of administrative rules, first by concluding that Chevron and not the tax syncratic National Muffler's test applied, and second by concluding that general versus specific regulatory authority made no more difference in the tax context than in any other. The question that comes out of that holding is whether Chevron applies to temporary rules and the like that are not adopted according to notice and comment rulemaking. The court, for example, was at pains to point out that the regulation at stake in Mayo had been subject to notice and comment rulemaking and found that to be a significant factor in finding Chevron deference appropriate. Second, the court's holding squarely indicates that general principles of administrative law apply to tax regulations. The court, however, may soon be called upon to decide how the APA applies to tax regulations. Cases pending in the Federal Courts of Appeals, for example, challenge Treasury regulations and IRS guidance documents on APA grounds. The government's historical answer has been that tax is simply different, but that answer may be insufficient in a post-Mayo Foundation world. Indeed, just days after the Supreme Court's decision in Mayo Foundation, a recent Third Circuit dissent would have invalidated a Treasury regulation on the ground that Treasury failed to offer an adequate explanation, a standard APA 706 challenge. In sum, the Supreme Court's unanimous decision in Mayo Foundation decisively answers several interesting questions of statutory and regulatory interpretation in the tax context. It raises just as many more.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.